on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
All righty, guys, we are here for another episode of the Auto Bid. I am Aaron Robinson, joined as always by my twin brother Andrew Robinson. And today we got a special guest, our rivals slash our counterparts over there at Sleepers Media. Greg Waddell and Carter Elliott are on with us today. We're going to give you guys a Sweet 16 preview. Also going to give you guys some Final Four picks and lay out pretty much the rest of the NCAA tournament, man. So we got Carter over here with a hat on, man. I mean, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
So I'm making the trip down to the Final Four next week, and I've been holding off on the cut. I usually go every 2 weeks, but I held off an extra week. So for the people who are viewing this, you know, I had to save them basically, because the cut is not ideal right now.
Hey, man. And then we got my guy G over there. And I know G's over here getting to do stuff for 68. So you ready to go over there, G, man?
Yeah, let's rock. For the record, I also have the hat on because I'm in the same boat as Carter. We got to get that cut next week. Also, I just want to throw out, I watched the TikTok you guys did today. I think it's on Instagram too. But like the story of your journey as brothers. And I just want to say, first of all, that was awesome. Second of all, I really wish that Carter and I were twin brothers. I feel like that would do a lot for our brand. Although it'd be better if we looked like me, but I do wish we were 6'7" like you. So I don't know.
I don't know how to feel about that. But you know, your team's in the Sweet 16, and mine isn't. So I can't say anything to you. It is what it is at this point.
Hey, Carter, that is a great segue into you know what we want to talk about today. Obviously, before we get into the Sweet 16 stuff, I want to remind you guys: make sure you guys are subscribing to this podcast. Give us a like. Give us a 5-star rating. Give us a retweet on Twitter, a like, a share on the gram, wherever you see this, you know what I'm saying? Make sure you guys are tapping in to our content. And then make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. Going to be him again on the outro. His new project, Why Stop Now, is out on all platforms. Make sure you guys are going and streaming my guy's music. One of the hottest up-and-coming rappers out of the DMV. But like we mentioned, man, we're going to give you guys a little Sweet 16 preview, man. So obviously we got 4 games Thursday and 4 games Friday. So we're going to start with the Thursday matchups. And the first one of the day is Gonzaga and Arkansas. So we'll start there. I'll start with you, Carter. I mean, obviously, Gonzaga is the overall number one seed in this tournament. They got a scare from Memphis in the last round, but they survived. And Arkansas was able to survive a rock fight against New Mexico State in that round of 32, man. So are we going to get an upset here? Is Arkansas going to get it done?
You know what? I honestly don't think that they are going to get it done. And it's for the reason, and Greg might have the same reason as me, honestly, but I feel like coming into the tournament, everyone was pointing to that second game being the scare for Gonzaga. Like everyone was saying, like if Memphis gets past them, Memphis is going to get physical with them. Gonzaga struggles with physical athletes, or they have in the past and through this year. So I feel like that was one of their hardest games. I feel like they're going to win this game, and it's honestly going to be smooth sailing. And the fact that you call that Arkansas game a rock fight is thinking on the positive side. That was one of the worst basketball games I watched in a long time. But I do want to send a shout out to Coach Musk, because sending that double at Teddy Allen every touch was hilarious and smart and really worked extremely well. But I don't know. I just think this Gonzaga team they're destined for the Final Four. I don't really see them slipping up. I think the next slip up for them will be either in the Final Four or in the national championship game. I don't really see them slipping up with Arkansas. I think it's going to be pretty comfortable too.
So I don't think they're destined for a Final Four necessarily like Carter does. I think they could lose Duke potentially in the Elite Eight. But I do know that gimmicks don't work against Gonzaga. They might work against New Mexico State, and Muss's little double team gimmick across the entire court. Like that reminded me of some shit I used to do when I coached 8th grade ball in Lansing, Michigan, like 6 years ago. Again, genius in the Catholic Youth League in Lansing, Michigan. Not genius. Honestly, embarrassing that New Mexico State couldn't handle that until late in the game. But Yeah, I just feel like Gonzaga's due to blow someone out, run them out of the gym, and I don't think they're going to win six games in this tournament. So if they're going to run someone out of the gym, it hasn't really been one of the two games thus far. Now feels like a good spot against an Arkansas team I don't really trust that much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm picking Gonzaga as well. I think that the way that Andrew Nembhard has been playing recently has been huge for them. I mean, Drew Timmy's been balling, but I think, you know, Nembhard really has taken his game to the next level over these first few games in the NCAA tournament. I think he's going to be the difference maker in this one. So, you know, I think the must bus runs out of gas in this one, man, and I'm picking the Zags to advance to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, we're going to make it a clean sweep here, 4-4. I'm going with the Zags, too. Arkansas, last game against New Mexico State, Diddy Notte and Jalen Williams combined 8-for-28 from the floor, and only two other players on the roster made a field goal. Like, that's absurd. Like, I don't understand. That's not going to happen again, but you can't have, you know, more than, you know, two other guys making a field goal, you're not going to have a chance against Gonzaga. So you guys mentioned a little bit, obviously, Duke, a potential team that could potentially knock off Gonzaga, but they're going to face Texas Tech. And a lot of people have been picking Texas Tech, man, in this basketball game. I think KenPom actually might have Texas Tech favored, if I'm not mistaken, in this matchup. So we'll start with you on this one, G. I mean, does Texas Tech have a chance, man? Are they going to knock off Duke in the Sweet 16?
They have a chance, but I'm rocking with Duke, man. I actually think I know the metrics are important. Ken Pomp's very smart. I trust him like he's a god when I'm doing all my betting research. But, like, I just think these lines have swung too far in the opposite direction. Like, Duke is 2-0 against top 10 teams in the country this year. They beat Gonzaga and they beat Kentucky. They've gotten up for big games. Like, have they lost games they shouldn't have? 100%. But when this team plays close to their ceiling, they're a top five team in the country. We know that for a fact. They're a top five team in terms of talent. And Texas Tech is good. I think they're getting a lot of points for the quote-unquote culture that Mark Adams has instilled there, even when he was under Chris Beard, and what he's continued in his first year as a head coach. And all that shit is real. I respect it. But, like, does Texas Tech have anybody you trust to go get a bucket down the stretch in a one-possession game against Duke? Because they were struggling to close out Notre Dame. Like, they easily could have lost that Notre Dame game, and they were up close to double digits multiple times in both the first half and early second half. So I don't know. I think it's a testament to Mark Adams that they're in the Sweet 16 right now. I don't think they're in the same stratosphere as far as Duke, and what Duke did down the stretch against Michigan State was special, man. I mean, Michigan State did everything they could have done to win that game. They shot the lights out, as Carter Elliott knows very well. And it didn't matter because Duke has six NBA players who played like NBA players in crunch time. And that's what I think is going to happen. Duke will beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, right now, KenPom has Texas Tech winning 69-68. So they're giving them about a 53% chance to win that basketball game. So, Carter, are you rolling with KenPom or what?
Well, first of all, Duke got six NBA players?
They got six NBA players.
At least five.
They got six NBA players.
Paolo, AJ Griffin, Wendell Moore, Keels. Mark Williams, 5 for sure.
Roach is getting a two-way.
Okay, finger down, and let's move on.
Maybe 4 years.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
maybe.
Do the little Quinn Cook plan. You know what I'm saying? 4 years, win a natty, go. You know what I'm saying? Dap up KD. You know what I'm saying? And win a ring. You know what I'm saying? Maybe bring him into the brotherhood. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the difference right there. Jeremy Roach doesn't know KD. Yeah, all right. He ain't cool with all them dudes like that. He ain't part of the brotherhood either. But
how many pros does Texas Tech have?
How many pros does Texas Tech have?
Yeah.
Probably one or two.
Two? One? Who's the yeah, one?
Terrence Shannon.
Terrence Shannon's a pro?
Yeah. If we're calling Jeremy Roach a pro, I'll tell you right now, Terrence Shannon's a pro.
See,
I'm just saying, but no. Let me get my Texas Tech bars off real quick, because I've been high on Texas Tech all year, and like coming into, just to go back to the last round in the Michigan State game, I thought that Duke played to like kind of what their ceiling is when all guys are hitting. I felt that AJ Griffin played extremely well. Paolo was able to basically see that a non-NBA player was across from him, and he was able to attack him, and he was able to overpower guys on our basketball team. Michigan State's not really the most physical in the front court. Like, we had some length in Marcus Bingham, but we also didn't have any type of guy who could go head-to-head with him. That's why Joey Hauser ended up in the basket every touch. But I think that this Texas Tech team can frustrate Duke defensively. And when they get frustrated, I mean, we've seen it in some games this year. I specifically go back to that Virginia Tech game. Virginia Tech was able to get up in Duke and frustrate them physically, and it threw them off a little bit. And because it threw them off a little bit, it kind of it leaked to the other side of the floor. Like, this Duke team is extremely talented, but I think it's a point where they haven't really come together this year like I thought they would. And things that can go wrong dictate what happens, other things. You know what I'm saying? Like, they let their offense affect their defense, and it just doesn't work out for them. So, like, a Michigan State team was able to score a lot of points on this Duke team, and we are not a good offensive team, especially in the half court. And credit to Michigan State for playing extremely well, but also that's a indictment on Duke and their half court defense that they weren't able to get stops. So I think that Texas Tech's going to frustrate them, especially on the defensive end, the way they lock up. And I think they'll be able to get enough baskets against a 50-50 okay defensive team in Duke, to me. And they'll pull it out. Like, it's going to be close. I know Texas Tech, KenPom has it at 1 point. Like, it'll be like a 1 to 2 point game, I think. But I think Texas Tech's going to make enough plays down the stretch.
See, this is why I disagree, Carter, because I think if the game is close, I feel like there's no way Texas Tech can win. Like, I feel like if you think these referees are going to allow Coach K to lose a one possession game in a 3-16, you're drunk. I mean, I remember I was at Quinnipiac. My guy, Beck Dunley, used to always tell us, man, when you go on the road against road officials, you got to win by 10 to win by 1. You know what I'm saying? So if Texas Tech is going to win this game and Coach K's last dance, they have to win by 15 to win by 1, in my eyes. You know, I just feel like it's no way that if that game is close, that Duke doesn't come out with the win in that situation. Also, I feel like if the game is close, I think Duke just has too many guys on the court that they can give the ball to. And Paulo and Wendell Moore, Jim Roach has been making some big-time plays. He made a big-time three in the last game against Michigan State. So, I mean, I think that I just rely on those guys a little bit more down the stretch. And like I said, man, I think I just think the basketball guys are going to reward Coach K in his send-off party, man. And I think they're going to advance to the Elite Eight, man. And maybe make a Final Four, you know, maybe. I think that if Duke Gonzaga Part 2 is going to be a special game.
One thing I'm looking at for me for this game is that Texas Tech, because they play at such a slow tempo, they have to be able to take care of the ball. And right now they turn the ball over on 20% of their possessions, which if you turn the ball over that much versus – and obviously in the first two games they've been pretty good taking care of the ball, but over the course of the regular season they turned it over at a pretty high clip. So if you do that – against Duke, then it's going to be courage, man. But I think for Duke, it comes down to can Jeremy Roach handle the physicality and the toughness that the Texas Tech guards are going to bring, because that game is going to be ugly. They're going to make it physical. And if him and as well as Trevor Keels and Wendell Moore don't handle that physicality well, then Texas Tech could definitely win that game. But if I had to put my money on one team, it would certainly be Duke. So we've got two more games on this first day. Next one we're going to go to is Houston and Arizona. Now, Houston played – arguably the best game of the tournament up to this point versus TCU in the round of 32. Ben Mather was out here throwing.
Arizona.
Arizona, man.
Who did I say?
You said Houston.
Arizona's playing Houston. What did I say?
You said Houston played the best game in the tournament.
Oh, excuse me. Arizona Houston played the best game in the round of 32 and with TCU. Obviously, you know, Kirk Creason went out there and went like 1 for 10 from the floor on one ankle, and Ben Mather was out there dunking on dudes, and Coloco was awesome. But Houston was really impressive, obviously, in beating Illinois. And they're now in the Sweet 16, which nobody kind of, you know, had them here getting to this point. So, Drew, I'll start with you on this one, man. I mean, do you think that Houston can beat Arizona in this one, man, or is Arizona going to keep marching through the tournament?
It's a tough one, man, because, I mean, in my bracket, I have Arizona advancing, you know, but I also think Houston, man, I think both of these teams got a very favorable whistle in their second round game. I mean, Houston, I mean, obviously much was made about that technical foul call that was called in the Illinois game, man. I mean, I think Arizona got some very favorable whistles down the stretch against TCU in their second round game, to say the least. So, I mean, I think both of these teams, I mean, they struggled in their last games, man, but I think I'm going to go Arizona here just because I think that, you know, granted what Houston's been able to do has been extremely impressive, you know, without Marcus Sasser and the injuries that, that they've been able to kind of withstand this year. But I think this is kind of where it comes to an end. I think Benedict Mathurin is the best player on the court in this game by far. I think Arizona might have the best three players on the court in this game, honestly. So I think, you know, that that bodes well in March. So I'm going to pick the Wildcats to advance, man. But, you know, hats off to Kelvin Sampson. If he pulls this one off, man, I mean, this dude, I don't know. I would say he needs a raise, but he's probably already making a ton of money. But, I mean, just an incredible job he's been able to do, man. But Kirk Creese also needs to go sit down somewhere. I mean, this dude was trying to play hero ball on that last possession, tried to get a three for a dollar.
My man missed three times, bro.
Yo, I said, all right, man, maybe, you know, hey, listen, you need to go sit down somewhere, man, get some ice on that ankle, man, because that ain't it. You know, but I'm picking the Wildcats to roll despite of that.
I mean, look, on the bright side for Creese, I mean, it can't get much worse. You know what I'm saying? I mean, look, I think he was one for 10 in that game. Like,
don't challenge Creese because he'll say, hey, oh, you thought 1 for 10 was bad? I got a 0 for 13 coming up for you. I got a goose egg coming. Promise you.
Hey, man, look, if he throws up a goose egg, Arizona has no chance in his basketball game, man. Talk to me, Carter, man. Is Arizona getting it done, man?
I'm kind of on a conflict with myself right now because I feel like I'm pushing, like, the culture agenda and, like, culture getting a win. Like, obviously, in that last game we talked about, if you're picking five players, you're probably picking five Duke guys against Texas Tech, but I still think Texas Tech wins that basketball game. I'm going with Houston in this basketball game. Because I think even though Arizona is the more talented team, I think that this Arizona team has showed their flaws throughout the year. And I'm not the best person to talk about this because Greg knows how I feel about Pac-12 basketball and how they operate. Like they don't really play in big games. Like their big win is against UCLA. I think they beat, but they also lost to UCLA and they beat USC once and they might've lost to USC once. I'm not sure.
Big win was at Illinois.
At Illinois, okay. And was that with Illinois' full team?
I think Curbelo was out for that, but I could be wrong.
Okay, so they're with their full team.
lost to UCLA, lost to Colorado in that Utah-Colorado trip. And then they also beat UCLA in the Pac-12 tournament, and they beat in the regular season, beat USC.
I'm sticking with the fact that I think that though this Arizona team is talented, I think issues like Kirk Creese are going to bite them in the ass in this game. I thought it should have bit him in the ass last game because I really think TCU should have won that basketball game. That was clearly a foul on Mike Miles at half court. And, you know, you have a talent like Benedict Mathurin. Like, Benedict Mathurin should have the ball. He should be doing what he was doing last game the whole time. And you can tell me whatever you want, but the fact of the matter is, Kirk Creese wishes that he was in Benedict Mathurin's shoes. He wishes he was getting all the hype. He wished they were talking about the guy who's wearing the headband. They wish they were talking about the guy who's coming back from a bum ankle to lead this Arizona team to victory, and no one's really talking about him. And they have so much talent on this team with Daylon Terry, Coloco. I mean, they got a hell of talent, but Kirk Creese is an I guy. He ain't a we guy. So I think that also, you know, TCU was able to beat their ass up on the offensive glass, and Houston is what is offensive rebounding. They're going to be on the glass. So if they're not ready to step up to that challenge and fix that issue, I think that Houston's going to pull this game out. I mean, you know, I picked Arizona to lose in the round of 32, and that should have came true, but it just one round delay for me.
To Seton Hall, right? That's what should happen.
I said, yeah, Greg, we ain't got to talk about
defense. I was with you. That was our loss.
Y'all were both on that line. Don't do that, Greg. Both of y'all.
That's y'all man's fault because Kevin Willard had his bags packed before the tournament. I didn't know that.
And I'm glad he did. I'm excited that he did because College Park had a great one, and we're getting ready to return to prominence next season. You heard it here first.
A great one?
A great one. Y'all hired bald Mark Turgeon. What you mean?
Hey, man, listen. All I'm saying is I watched the press conference yesterday and Kevin Willard had me fired up, right? I'm very excited for this new era of Maryland basketball, all right? I'm very excited on where the direction of the program is going. And we're gonna go back to our 2002 glory days, you know what I'm saying? Back to our Final Four, you know what I'm saying? Glory days, you know what I'm saying? Those days are ahead in College Park. You heard it here first.
Yeah, anytime a fan base as a whole is ecstatic that their coach departs, usually not a great sign for the new.
Well, because they got Shaq coming in, I'll be happy too. They already know who's next up.
That's true. That's very true.
But go ahead. I mean,
go ahead. Pick Arizona, G. Because I know.
Are you riding with Arizona? Or are you
riding? No. Listen, I've actually flipped on this, and Carter's part of the reason I flipped. I had Arizona originally when we did our sleepers episode a couple days ago, and the main reason why was just that I think you look at the 16 teams left in this tournament, and I think 13 of them you can point to and just say they're not that talented, and I can't see them winning a national title. And the three I can see getting across the finish line are Gonzaga, Duke, in Arizona, because I think they are that talented enough to do so. Like the fact that they survived a 1-for-10 game from Kirk Risa, just because Ben Mathurin was unbelievable paired with that front court. Like there's not any other team in the country that can match up with that, in my opinion, other than maybe Gonzaga. However, the statistical matchup for this game to me favors Houston largely for crashing the offensive glass. And Carter is the one who put me onto this a little bit. Like they're consistently top five in the country in offensive rebounding every year under Kelvin Sampson. Arizona straight up doesn't box out. Like I did a little more digging on this. They're like in the 200s in offensive rebound rate allowed. And again, they have a monstrous front court. They just do not board the way that they should. And I don't know if that's scheme. I don't know if it's effort. I don't know what it is, but I do know from watching Houston just tear up Illinois and Kofi Coburn on the offensive glass, like they're going to have whatever they want in this game with that. So I think Kelvin Sampson, I trust him more than almost any coach in the country to win a head-to-head battle from a coaching perspective. I think that Houston is a tough out always, and Arizona seemed a little sloppy to me. So I've swung around. Cart convinced me I'll take Houston.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, Houston right now is third in the country in offensive rebounding percentage. And obviously, the first round, when they played UAB, they held Jordan Walker, 6 of 18 shooting from the floor, 1 of 10 from 3 with 5 turnovers. With Illinois, they held Alfonso Plummer and Trent Frazier to a combined 4 of 17 from the floor, 16 points in that matchup. So I think if they can not even necessarily take Mathurin out of the game, but they can just, like, slow him down and allow him maybe 17 as opposed to a 30, then I think that they'll have a real shot to win this basketball game. So I think if I had to pick one team, I think I'm going to pick Arizona just because of the fact that I don't know if that happens. Like, I think Mathurin is the best player on the floor. I think at the end of the day, he's going to go and get his. And I think that at the end of the day, Coloco and Tabellis and all those guys are just going to be too much for Houston. So I think I'll pick Arizona, but I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Houston wins this game. So I want to get to the final game of the day, or the second game of the day, but obviously the most intriguing matchup of this round, in my opinion. That's Michigan Wolverines and the Villanova Wildcats. I know Sleepers is big on the Michigan agenda here, and they're big anti-Colin Gillespie, man. So talk to me and tell me why Michigan is going to win this game, even though they aren't. So I'll let you guys tell me your wrong take first. I'll start with Greg because this is your team.
Okay, can we throw it to Cart? Cart, tell me why Michigan's going to win this game.
Yeah, so I've been pushing the agenda. Y'all know my Villanova Wildcat agenda. Y'all know it. Like, I would do anything in my power to push the agenda. Like, Colin Gillespie is just, you know, Ryan Arcidiacono with a little bit more of an IG following. That's all he is, and some little baby on his playlist. That's really all he is. But the fact of the matter is, Villanova has a starting center that is my size. Like, Eric Dixon is what, 6'8", 6'7"?
You are 6'8", but I see what you're trying to do
there. How tall was Amari Spellman when they won the championship, 3 years ago? Amari Spellman's like
6'7". I know we're not saying Eric Dixon's Amari Spellman, though.
Amari Spellman is definitely like 6'9", 6'10".
No way.
I'm pretty sure he is. We can fact check it. Let me rock to this point, though, real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
The fact of the matter is, Hunter Dickinson, if he wants to in this game, and if he is locked in, he will get 30 points. Like that, no, he will. No, that's going to happen.
No chance. No chance in hell.
But I'm telling you, I watched what the people that Hunter Dickinson struggles against are guys that can match his size. Like, he struggles against
Kofi. You know who's coaching the other Zach team, Edies. Do you know who's coaching the other team?
Oh, Jay Wright?
Yeah. It's Jay Wright.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry, Villanova's going to win. Because Jay, yeah, my fault. I didn't know Jay Wright was coming up.
You think you're going to let Hunter play one-on-one in the post all game? No, they're going to double him and make Caleb Houston and make guys make shots.
Okay, but also, like, those are guys that can make shots. Y'all realize that on a if it's on a day-to-day basis, Caleb Houston can be, like, a 40% three-point shooter. Like, he has that ability.
I just watched him go 0 for 4 for a donut versus Tennessee. A donut.
I know, but I've also seen him have games where he goes, like, 4 for 9. Like, that happens. He has the ability.
Eli Brooks just had 23 points, right? That's not happening again. That happened again.
I don't know, man. Like, I want y'all to win this game.
Hunter has to guard on the other end. Like, they're going to put him in ball screen action after action. He can have to guard somebody. It's going to be bad for him. You understand that? Like,
yeah, that's happened two, three games.
Yeah, and how come they're still in the tournament?
They didn't play Villanova. That team that Michigan barely beat Tennessee, Villanova whacked them early in the year, scraped them off the court.
So when Michigan blitzed Purdue and beat them by 27 points, you think Purdue didn't put Hunter Dickinson in ball screen actions?
I'm saying,
Here's the truth. Coming from the guy on this call, no offense to three very knowledgeable basketball minds, but coming from the guy who's actually watched every single Michigan game, here's what I'm hearing from everyone who's trying to quote unquote analyze what's going to happen in this game. I'm hearing a bunch of people that haven't watched Michigan tell me what to expect from Michigan. Okay. Because anyone who hasn't watched Michigan thinks this team is horrible, thinks this team doesn't have pros, thinks Caleb Houston goes 0 for 4 every single game, thinks Hunter Dickinson's a non-factor. The actual truth here is that Hunter Dickinson is way better than he was last year when he was a second team All-American. But because they went 17-14, mostly because they have zero bench and they had really bad point guard problems early in the season, nobody cares. Nobody cared at all because the Big Ten had four other first team All-American contenders. So everybody ignored what Hunter Dickinson's doing. He's the baddest motherfucker. I don't know if I could swear on this show. He's the baddest motherfucker in the Tennessee game and the Colorado State game. And I don't know if he will be in the Villanova game, but if everybody's telling me to be afraid of a guy who's got 20 points only two times in his last 14 games, a guy who's shooting 40% over the last 2 months of the season, like he's the dude who's going to send me home, y'all better realize there's another dude right across the court who's averaging 65% from the field over the last month, 24 points a game. And if you're going to stick a 6'8" dude on him for 40 minutes, good fucking luck.
It's not going to be one-on-one, bro. He's not playing him one-on-one. What are you talking about?
He dealt with doubles the entire Colorado State game. He went 8 for 10 from the floor.
Hey, listen, I'm living with Houston and Eli Brooks and Devontae. I live with them dudes. I live with it. We'll live. Okay.
And again, that's what Michigan wants, is people to live with that. They've been doing this for 2 years with Hunter Dickinson. When you double Hunter Dickinson, they're very happy with that.
All right. Drew, what are your thoughts?
Listen, man, you know, Hunter Dickinson is a DMV GOAT. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to slander him. You know what I'm saying? You also got my guy Terrence Williams, another DMV GOAT over there, you know, in Michigan. I'm also rocking with Juwan Howard. You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that he redeems himself after Smack Gate occurred, you know what I'm saying? But I'm going with the Wildcats, you know what I'm saying? I'm taking culture, as we know. I think Villanova is no stranger to being in these big games. And, you know, despite the fact that, you know, Michigan has won these first two games in the first two rounds, man, I think the luck runs out, or the magic runs out, I should say. I won't call it luck. I think the magic runs out, man. I think Villanova just has too many guys, man, that they can, you know, throw at Hunter, man. Like I said, I think obviously Dickinson is going to start off with them, but I mean, when you have guys like even like Jermaine Samuels and Brandon Slater who have length, who can kind of get in there and stunt and dig, get some swipes, kind of just bother passes too. I think that's gonna make a difference, man. And like Ace said, man, I just trust Jay Wright in these situations, man. I think he's gonna come up with a game plan that's gonna have those guys ready to go, man. And I think Villanova's gonna march on to the Elite Eight, man. You know.
One thing I know for sure, Jay Wright's about to bring the Secret Service out to make sure he don't take a right hook to the jaw in the handshake line. At this point, he got to protect that baby face. You know what I'm saying?
And his suit. He's going, you know, he's going to come out with a nice tailored suit looking fresh.
Hey,
so
there's something else, though. There's something else. And it needs to be spoken on. This ain't the Big East either, all right? We ain't playing no teams. We're not playing no teams that are scared of Villanova.
It's time to talk about it. The Big East as a whole
are supposed to be all tough guys, but they let one team mentally have a hold over them for the whole year. Interesting.
We had a Gavitt Games in the non-conference, and the Big East scraped y'all. They scraped the Big Ten. Scraped y'all.
And the last time Michigan saw Villanova in the A title,
it got unsheathed.
Hey, y'all might want to fact that, all facts media. The last time Michigan saw Villanova, they ran them out of their home gym by 28 points. Eli Brooks had five off the bench. Colin Gillespie was scared.
We're talking about in the NCAA tournament. We're talking about the
NCAA tournament. Hey,
we're talking about the NCAA.
That was like a game after Villanova scraped us. We actually played Villanova that year at the Wells Fargo Center. And they didn't play Michigan like the next night after they scraped us. And they were riding their high horse, and Michigan beat the brakes off. Now it's my senior.
Yeah, listen, college. We're talking about in the NCAA tournament, okay? We ain't talking about in the regular season.
Hey, just to be clear, the last time Colin Gillespie started in a game against Michigan at home, his team scored 46 points. They lost by 27. He played 34 minutes, tucked his tail between his legs, and shot 1 for 3 from the field. I'm not afraid of that man at all. In fact, fellas, if I could hand pick my matchup in the Sweet 16 for a team that has overachieved to this point to get to the Sweet 16, it would be this Villanova team with a slow backcourt, with zero NBA players on it. NBA players. Wow. And nobody over 6'8". Let's be very clear about one thing again, because I know y'all haven't
watched Moore is an NBA player.
I know you haven't watched Michigan this year. Michigan's got two NBA players on this team and a former All-American player who's the best player in this game. They're the more talented team going into this game, folks. We'll see. Is it culture or talent? Because that's been the story of every matchup. Y'all going with culture.
So sad.
I'm
so
going
sad
with talent.
It's going to be so sad when they lose, man. So sad.
I'm gonna win either way. My agenda's getting pushed in either way. No matter to me.
All right. We got four more games left and not a lot of time. So I'll start with this one. Does anybody think St. Peter's beating Purdue?
No.
No.
All right, great. Don't got to spend too much time on that one. All right. we got Kansas and Providence, man. Is Providence pulling the upset, man? Is the luck going to run out for PC?
Yeah, I got Providence in this game. They're gonna pull it out. This is their statement game. All right. Like, they had that one game where they finally played Villanova. I can't remember. It was like Villanova at home or something like that. And they touted that as the biggest game of the year for Providence. I think that Providence wins this basketball game. I don't think that this Kansas team can stop people defensively. And I think this is a bigger game for Providence because every time someone brings them up, everyone talks about the lucky word. When they're not lucky, they're just gamers. They got dudes who make winning basketball plays. I think they pull this game out and they make a statement doing it. So I think Providence wins. They get the upset.
I'm with Cart. I love Providence in this spot. Them getting 7.5 points is disrespectful as hell.
They're
19-12 against the spread this year. I'm just going to keep betting them because it's so profitable. I also, like, after they beat Kansas, they're going to open up as, like, 3-point underdogs to Miami, Florida in the Elite Eight. And it's going to be – and Ed Cooley's going to tell everyone they're underdogs. They're going to waltz to the Final Four. I'm all in. I love the Friars.
Wow.
Take
Providence to the Final Four. We gotta clip this one too. Wow, Drew, are you on the Providence? Are you on the Providence fan? Or
I love that Cooley, love Providence, but not taking them in this game. I think we finally saw the emergence of Remy Martin that we thought was gonna be there at the beginning of the year. He's back. O'Shea Abaji is gonna be the best player on the court. I think that Kansas is gonna roll in this one onto the Elite Eight over Providence.
Yeah, even if Abaji doesn't, like, Obagi's averaging 13 points a game, shooting 35.7% from the floor through two games. But Remy Martin's averaging 18 points a game through two tournament games. So even if Oshai Obagi is not playing well, that was the thing that they were missing. Like, if Obagi wasn't playing well in the regular season, that they couldn't win games. But now Remy Martin is coming on, and this Kansas team is going to be a really tough out down the stretch with the emergence of Remy Martin now playing the way that he's been in the past couple games.
I feel like it's just no way. It's no way Oshai plays bad 3 games in a row. There's no way. No way.
Hey, it's funny to see y'all fools fall for, once again, the Remy Martin allure. This is what he does every single year. He has a nice little stretch. If you look closely enough, you take a quick little sniff, you'll still smell the Sun Devil on that man. He's a losing basketball player. He always will be. It is what it is, but we can move on.
We got a 2-2 split, 2 for Kansas, 2 for Providence. We'll see how that works out. UCLA, North Carolina. How are we? I mean, I think this has potential to be a really fun matchup because Carolina's obviously playing with some house money. UCLA is really good. So, what's up with Greg here, man? Is UCLA going to be able to get this done? We don't know how Kansas is playing, but, you know, where do you stand on this one?
Yeah, I lean Carolina. I agree this is a toss-up game. Our thing with UCLA all season long has been they're our hashtag vibes team. Like, we just thought they'd turn it on when it mattered. Ju Zhang, Tiger Campbell, like, we rock with all of them dudes. The problem is I don't feel that they've really turned it on. I don't like the vibes from what I'm seeing. Yes, they pulled away from St. Mary's. I think they played pretty well in that game. But, like, they're not shaking the horrible off-the-dribble two-point jumpers that I was hoping they would shake when it matters. I think that right now RJ Davis and Caleb Love is the best backcourt left in this tournament, as crazy as that sounds. So I'm going to rock with Davis with how he's been playing. I think Carolina gets it done.
Carter?
I'm leaning UCLA in this game. I do think it's a toss-up. Jaquez being healthy is definitely going to be huge for UCLA. But I think everyone, and for good reason, like Greg said, is buying into what UNC has been doing lately, because this is what we thought they would be to start the year. But also that team that started the year, that's still the same team. And they still have those same tendencies where they sometimes can't guard people. And sometimes Armando Bacot is getting 20 and 20 and everybody else is giving them absolutely nothing. So if UNC continues to play, you know, the way they've been playing with everyone contributing, even Brady Manick looks like actually the second coming of Larry Bird lately. Like, I think that they will pull this game out, but it'll be close. But like I said, like, UCLA has been here before. Like, they made that run last year. They're making another run this year. I think they're going to gear it up, lock it in, and turn up. So I think I'm going to go I'm going to lean UCLA in this game still.
Drew.
Yeah, I'd say if Jaquez doesn't play or if he's a shell of himself on the court, I'm going to go UNC. But I think if he can kind of, get a cortisone shot, you know, shake it off and get out there, I think that UCLA wins in this one. I think I'm going to go with the experience. And I think that, they'll advance to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I'm with Drew. I think if Hawkins is healthy, I'm going UCLA, because I think they have the size downloaded to be able to combat Bacot and Brady Manning and those guys. And I think I'll take UCLA guards over the Carolina guards with Jules Bernard, Tiger Campbell, and obviously Ju Zhang. I think they're probably the best trio of guards left in this tournament, in my opinion. But I think if Hawkins is not healthy, then I think that puts a wrench in that situation. So I think I'm going to ride UCLA if they're healthy. If not, then I'll go Carolina. One last game, Iowa State, Miami. Are we going with Larrinaga, or are we going with Iowa State, man? Carter, you look like you want
to go. I'm going to Netflix. I ain't watching that game. I'm about to protect my peace. I'm about to get some work done or something.
That is the last game of the night, so Netflix will be an option at that point of the night. It's Friday night as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't really care. Iowa State, I don't know. I really don't care. I'll be honest with y'all. I do not care about that game.
Greg, what you got?
That's the same thing. That's going to be like the early date night in bed with wife at that point. Like, I'm not watching this game. I don't care. I'm really mad we have to watch these two teams. It's stupid.
Listen, man, Miami's gonna win this game. Charlie Moore, McGusty, Isaiah Wong are gonna carry the Hurricanes and Jim Larrinaga into the Elite Eight. He's gonna keep the Cinderella run going and maybe get to his second Final Four in his career, man. Can you believe that? I got the Hurricanes.
Yeah, me too. I'm rolling with the Hurricanes. I'm taking Charlie Moore, Cameron McGusty, and Isaiah Wong over Brockington, Tyrese Hunter, and Gabe Kauscher. I think it's gonna be a guard play, though, because obviously Iowa State has some great guards as well. But I'm taking Miami. I'm taking Larrinaga. And if Providence wins, I'm taking Miami to beat Providence too and get to the Final Four. But we'll see what happens. Quickly, fellas, who are your national title picks, man? Carter, who you got winning it all, cutting down the nets?
I got the Zags. Fuse getting over the hump finally.
G-Wizzy.
Oh, man. I'm going to go Providence, fellas. Why not? Let's get creative. I think they have the easiest draw. I'm going Providence.
To cut down the nets,
yeah.
Wow.
Team of Destiny.
Drew.
Zags, baby. This finally the year. Mark Few's getting it done.
I'm going Zags, too. I'm going Zags to cut down the nets. Mark Few's getting
it. Real creative, fellas. Real creative.
I'm not picking Providence.
I'm the 900th podcast to pick Gonzaga.
I don't care. I'm not picking that Cooley. If it ain't them, I'm picking Arizona. I'll tell you that much. If it ain't them, I'm going Zona to cut down the net.
If it's not Zaga, I'm going Duke. And a farewell tour, Coach K goes out with a natty.
Oh, we all lose if that happens.
Right? But this has been another episode of the Auto Bench. Thanks, Sleepers Media, for coming on. Make sure you guys are following them on social media. And this is going to be Pull Up Tay on the outro. Until next time, folks. You bitten on me. It's time to get a check, boy. You want a sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.